And good to see you back here in God's house tonight on Wednesday night. And I think it's important, as we even discussed a little bit last Wednesday night, of being in God's house, and it's good to be around God's people. And hope and trust you've had a good week. And Wednesday nights are always tough, and that's the night that you've worked or had your routine of the day or school or whatever, and you get to church. And for some of you, I know how it is. You finally get still for the first time all day, and you get comfortable. And boy, it's easy to kind of want to take a little quick nap. But don't do that tonight, and we'll get home here shortly. Acts, if you would, is the book we're going to be in tonight. We were in the book of Acts last Wednesday night. In fact, last Wednesday night we studied a little bit from the book of Acts, a little bit of some of the responsibilities that we have as a church member, as we unite together in a common bond, and that is that we center our life around the Word of God, and to do our very best to do God's will in our life in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important that we understand that there is a lost world that needs to be reached. Not only around the world, but also in our own neighborhoods, in our own area. And we need to always remember the importance of the Lord's work. God's work, there is no work any greater than God's work. You'll never do anything any more important than what takes place in the Lord's work. And God is, His work is very, very important, and we know that the church is very important. We talked about that a little bit last Wednesday night as well. Well, tonight, we're going to take the book of Acts, and we're going to look at the early examples of the church, and we'll find some ingredients inside this church and some examples of the early church and what took place in that church. And you're going to find, if you we're not going to really get to the growth part of the church in the book of Acts, but if you go to back to the book of Acts and study, you'll find that the church exploded with growth. It was amazing of how the gospel began to be preached, and as it was preached, people received the word of God. Many were saved and baptized and added to the church, and churches started other churches. And in fact, actually tonight, what we are involved in tonight is an extension of what you find in the book of Acts, where the church was exploding with growth and spread around the world. And praise God, the gospel went around the world. And praise God for salvation tonight. But tonight we're going to look at some examples of the early church, some ingredients, some things that you find in that church that made it, I believe, so special. And I believe that it has to be an indicator of why it grew in the magnitude that it grew. And I believe that it's still God's will even today for the church to grow. I think it's God's will today that we preach the gospel. I think it's still God's will and God's plan that we reach the world with the gospel, win souls to Christ, bring them in and build them and help and teach and instruct them through the Word of God. So let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, if you'll just kind of hold your Bible open right there. And we're going to kind of jump around a little bit. I tried to put it in some order, but I think I made a mistake or two, and I think I got a few out of order to make it easy. But we'll bounce around in the book of Acts tonight. The book of Acts is a, you could actually call it maybe a history of the church. Jesus began, and I believe that Jesus is the founder of the local New Testament church, and I believe he is still the cornerstone of the local New Testament church. But you'll find that actually the book of Acts is it's almost like a history book of the church that Jesus began, and after his ascension of Christ, if you would, the church literally exploded with growth. When everybody thought it couldn't happen with Jesus now gone back to heaven, there were actually some that doubted that because Christ was no longer here on earth with them, that the work could go forward. But boy, they were proved wrong very quickly. People began to preach the gospel, and you know, that's another thing too. You know, it's not our job to actually win anyone. It's just our job to preach the gospel. You know, we can't make anybody get saved, and nobody can force anyone to trust Christ. That is a individual decision. But boy, one thing we can do, and that is to preach and teach the Word of God. And it's important that we understand that, and that's why we stand so strongly on the Word of God. You'll find that after Jesus ascended, you'll find that the church literally exploded with growth. And we're going to take and look tonight at some of the things that took place that I believe tonight that we could point to and say, you know, I believe that's probably one of the reasons why that church grew. And then we'll look at another point, and you probably would be able to say, I believe that's another reason why the church grew, and some very important facts about the early church that we find here in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter number 1, and I want to start with this, and I don't have it in any certain order here tonight, but I want to say, first of all, number 1, you're going to find very quickly in the early church that it was very much a praying church. It was a church that prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. You know, I don't believe tonight that you can actually possibly pray too much. You know, I don't think we have a problem tonight of spending too much time in prayer. One of the problems we have today is we just simply don't pray enough. And we all have our reasons of why. We have our excuses of why. Well, we're too busy. We just don't have enough time. And we always say that. But, you know, we all have the same amount of time in every single day. God has not shortened the days. The days are still the same amount of time in each and every day. The reason we don't pray often like we should is because we don't schedule our life like we ought to schedule our life. And you have to schedule and you have to make and find time each and every day to pray. But we find here that it's going to be a very, a church that really believed in prayer. It was a church that actually was built and centered around prayer. And I believe tonight that if anything's ever going to happen or if anything's ever going to go forward for the glory of God, it's all going to start with prayer. And when you think about it, everybody can be a part of the ministry of prayer. And let's look here, Acts chapter number 1, and we'll look down at verse number, well, I'm just going to pick out some verses here. Verse number 14, the Bible says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So we find here that they all continued with one accord. They had a common bond. They were together. They were, it was a 100%, if you would, where they united together, and they united together around prayer. And I believe that as you go back to the early church, you'll find that they spent an enormous amount of time in prayer. And I believe that God blesses prayer. And I believe that God honors prayer. And I believe tonight that God works through prayer tonight. And I think tonight, if anything's ever going to break through spiritually in this world we live in, it's going to all start in the matter of prayer. And we ought to be a people of prayer. And we find here that they all continue together with one accord in prayer and supplications. In chapter 2, you're close there. We'll skip around a little bit. If you'll go to chapter 2, towards the end of the chapter, and down in verse number 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You'll find that word prayer mentioned over and over and over throughout the book of Acts. And it was a common theme that, boy, when you found the church gathered together, you're always going to find prayer there. You know, prayer is so important tonight. But it's so neglected so often. And boy, I'm afraid sometimes it's so easy to get into our spiritual rut. You go to church, it's the same routine. You can pretty well know exactly the pattern of the schedule of the service and, you know, probably about how many songs we're going to sing. You pretty well know when Brother Richardson is going to have prayer. But don't allow that to ever make it, don't allow your Christian life to become so mechanical that you forget the importance of what prayer is all about. And people need prayer. In fact, in a few moments, we're going to find there's going to be people in our church that have people they want us to pray for. And I believe tonight that it's our job tonight, our duty tonight, to pray for those who need prayer tonight. And all through the book of Acts, you're going to find that a lot of great things are going to take place. In fact, we're going to look and make reference here and real briefly tonight to find out what kind of growth this church experienced. But you're going to find that all through the book that prayer keeps coming up. I mean, every time they gathered together, it seems like, and every time they came together and assembled together, they had prayer together. And I believe that's important for a church to build its ministry around prayer. And we find here, once again, prayer mentioned. Go over to chapter 6, if you would. Go over a couple of chapters and go over to chapter number 6 tonight. And I'll make one other reference and then we'll kind of make a few notes here and then we'll move on to another point. But in chapter number 6, you'll find in verse number 4, the Bible says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Now, when you get a congregation of people that makes that kind of a statement, only good things are about to happen. when you find a group of people that commit themselves, and they make comment here, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And you know, when you get prayer involved in preaching, and you get prayer involved in church work, and you get prayer involved in outreach and working with people, and when you get everything centered and based around prayer, boy, it makes it where God can do some great things. And we find here that they gave themselves continually to prayer. There were people in the congregations, if you will. There were people in the churches there that was their ministry. They wanted to pray, and they enjoyed praying, and they spent many hours praying and praying and praying. And there were a lot of things that no doubt needed to be prayed over. And praise God for those in the church that will give themselves to prayer. You know, everybody ought to search their heart and look at themselves and ask ourselves, you know, are we praying like we ought to pray? I mean, do we pray for our pastor like we ought to pray for him? And boy, there should never a day go by that we do not pray for Brother Richardson. I mean, pray that God would give him good health, that God would give him a good day, a blessed day, that God would give him encouragement and strength, and God would grant him wisdom. And we talked about that last week, and I'm not going to go back and jump back on that, but, you know, there are so many things tonight that we need to pray for. We need to pray for the ministries of our church and the pastor of the church and the workers in the church and pray for the sick and pray for the lost and pray for one another and pray for just different types of needs that come up. You know, I was thinking a lot today, boy, we need to get serious in prayer about the future of our country and the upcoming election. And boy, we ought to beg God to do something there and beg God to work in our midst, in our country. You know, our country needs God tonight. And boy, we ought to pray for our leaders, and we talked about that last week, and pray for our president, no matter whom it may be, and pray for those in leadership, and there's so many things we can list there, but prayer, the early church did not get so busy that prayer was just secondary. I mean, when you look at the early church before anything really took place, you'll find that prayer took place first. In fact, you're going to find that multitudes are going to be reached. In fact, you're going to find thousands upon thousands of people in the book of Acts are going to be reached with the gospel. But before any soul was ever reached, and before any message was really preached, and any message was ever taught, you're going to find that it was prayer that was always at the beginning. Prayer must always be at the beginning of everything that we do. And so we find here prayer was very important. We need to make sure that we don't get too busy and neglect our own prayer life. And the prayer in the book of Acts in the early church was a top priority. And it ought to be a top priority in our life. And we need to stop using our excuses of why we don't pray and put them all aside and realize, boy, in the time and the day and the age that we live in, we better get busy about prayer. We need God to do something special in our country. You know, our country tonight needs revival tonight. Our country tonight needs a spiritual awakening tonight. And boy, we need the power of God to fall upon our country once again. It's been a long, long time in America since we've really had some good revivals take place in our country. And we need to get back to prayer, and that's where it will begin, is with prayer. And prayer was their top priority, and I hope tonight that prayer is our top priority, and we should take and bathe everything in prayer and enjoy it. You know, prayer ought to be enjoyable. I mean, we ought to enjoy praying and spending time with God. And prayer should be very important. Let's move on real quickly here. Secondly, tonight, in the early church we find here in the book of Acts, prayer, of course, was a vital role in the church. It was the foundation of everything that they would do. But let's also look in Acts chapter number 3 tonight. I believe there's another example here that we can look at in the early church to find out a little bit of what it was like. And let's not forget, what we have tonight is an extension of what we find in the book of Acts. Because as they preach the gospel and as folks get saved in churches and starting churches, and boy, it spreads around the world. And that's why we have what we have tonight. It all goes back to the Word of God. And let's look here. Acts chapter number 3. And let me say in the beginning here that my second point is that you're going to find that they were a passionate church. They were a church that actually and truly cared about people. Let's not get so busy in life that we forget the main ingredient in the ministry, and that is we're trying to reach people. And in order to reach people, we're going to have compassion, and we're going to have to be passionate about reaching the world. And it's not an easy task tonight. You'll find that the world, boy, we live in such an upside-down world, do we not? I mean, a messed-up society. It is so confused and backwards and upside-down and so sinful and so away from God. But listen, that's our job. Our job tonight is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we find they were a praying church. They started with prayer on everything. And now we find in this chapter here that they're going to be a very passionate church here. In chapter 3, if you would look with me down at verse number 3. The Bible says, who's seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. So you got Peter and John, here they are, they're about to go into the temple, about to go into what we would call the church house today, and lo and behold, there's a man begging and asking for some money and begging by the wayside here. Verse number 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So we find here that Peter and John are going into the church house, and there's somebody begging for money by the wayside. And Peter, you'll find here that Peter and John could have easily cast him off to the side or just kind of turned their cheek the other way or kind of just ignored him. But you find here that they took time to spend with him. You'll find the man is healed here through the power of God, and we find here that they actually had compassion on someone who was actually the outcast of society. You know, we should never allow our hearts to get so hardened that we no longer have compassion for people. Now, we live in a day and age where you got to be careful with people. There are people that will use you. You find that people are crooked in a lot of ways. You'll find that a lot of times people are begging for money and asking for money, and sometimes you got to be careful in that, and I understand that tonight. But let's not allow ourselves to get so hardened to society that we forget they're the ones we're trying to reach. For instance, tonight, nowadays, people get so hooked on drugs, they'll do anything to steal and cheat and get money so they can go buy more drugs. And that happens so much, and people are crooked in so many ways in that area. And I understand that tonight. And it's easy for me to get hardened to that and just kind of, get angry towards people like that. But I have to also understand that that's the world. We're trying to reach the world. You know, I've always looked at it this way. Lost people are going to act like lost people. They're going to do things that lost people do. Now, I can understand. Now, I don't understand how saved people can do what lost people do, but I do understand how lost people can do the things that they do because they're without God. They're blinded, as the Bible talks and describes, and they don't have an understanding because the Holy Spirit of God does not dwell in them. And we have to understand that no matter how difficult life may be and no matter how frustrated and angry we may get with society, we must always understand that that's who we're trying to reach tonight. That's the one that God wants the gospel to be preached unto. That's the ones that God wants to be saved. You know, there's no one tonight that God does not want to save. You know, God's will is that every man would trust Christ as their Savior. But we find here the members cared for the hurting, and we take an example here of two that are going into the temple here, and how that they took a few moments and actually spent with this one that was a beggar, if you would, and they cared for him, and they cared for the hurting, and they cared for the down and out, if you would. And we must be a caring people tonight. We must be compassionate tonight. We must have an open heart tonight. Now, we can't allow the world to use us and to misuse the Lord's work tonight, but we have to find that dividing line there and say, yes, I understand the problem you have, but let me... In fact, you find here in the text that we have, he was begging for money, but he didn't get money. In fact, you find here that it was Peter that told unto him that he don't have any gold and silver. He says, but you know what? I've got something much better than gold and silver. Let me tell you about my Savior, Jesus Christ. And you'll find that he was given strength and God does a great work here and so forth. But we have to understand here tonight that we must be a compassionate people. We must never lose our passion for what we're trying to do, and that is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do we send missionaries around the world? Because we're trying to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want everybody to hear a clear presentation of how that they can trust Christ as their Savior. It doesn't mean that everybody will be saved, because we can't make anybody get saved tonight. But what we can do is do our very best to make sure everybody gets to hear that Jesus saves lost sinners. And teach them and show them from God's Word how that they too can trust Christ as their Savior, and how that they can enter into the family of God, how they can be born again. That's what it's all about, dear friend. But we've got to have compassion on the world. Hurry real quickly, Acts chapter 4 tonight, and we're there. Let's look here. You're real close there. Acts chapter number 4, and also I did mention this last week, but I do want to show you an example here of the early church here and how that they were a very, very giving church financially. Now, we're not going to harp on tithes and offerings tonight very much, but I am going to go back and stress here the importance that the Lord's work, we have to understand tonight, there's no greater work than the Lord's work. And God has a plan of how He finances the Lord's work, and that is through the tithes of the local New Testament church. That's God's plan tonight. And we have to understand tonight that in the early church, they're a good example unto us of a people that gave everything so that the work of God could go forward. You know, whether we like it or not tonight, everything costs money. The air conditioner, and praise God, running tonight, I can promise you, Kenergy, are we on Kenergy here? I think Kenergy Electric is not donating electricity tonight. Now, I may be shocked tonight, but I doubt it. Do they donate electricity here? All right, so the church has to pay for it. All right, and praise God for that. Thank God tonight we have electricity to run the lights tonight. All of that. How do we pay for all that? Well, it's paid through the tithes of the giving of God's people in the local church. That's God's plan. God's plan has always been 10%. We talked about that last week, and that will always be God's plan. And I've always said this, and you can mark it down, I can promise you, probably even in this church, God's probably not getting 10% from everybody in the church either. You know, I used to always say that, you know, God can run His worldwide ministry on 10%, but you know what? He's probably not getting 10%. If I know church-going people, not everybody tithes and not everybody gives maybe like they should, so it's probably a lot less than 10%. But that's God's plan, and they were giving church. In Acts chapter 4, look, if you would, with me down towards the end of the chapter here as well, down all the way in verse number 34, the Bible says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses, they did what with them? They sold them." So you find that actually in the early days of the church that people were going out and taking the land that they owned and the homes that they owned. And the Bible says here that they sold the homes and the land, as it says here in verse number 34. And sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And this, you'll find they distributed it here as it's talking, was made unto every man according as he had need. So you find here that they were a giving church. They gave sacrificially. The people willingly gave offerings to the church for the Lord's work so that things could go forward, that souls could be reached, and so that people could be helped, and so that the hurting and those that were in need could be helped as well. And we must be willing tonight to give of ourselves tonight and give of our time to the Lord's work tonight and give of our finances and our money in tithes, not only tithes, but offerings, and give to missions and on and on. You know, it's exciting to me. You know, I've mentioned last week, it's so exciting. I think we, do we have a missionary coming? Is it this Sunday? Oh, I have a missionary coming this Sunday. You know, I'm always excited when we can take on another missionary family. And praise the Lord for that. What is that? To me, that's an indicator that somebody or somebodies in the church are doing the right thing and doing the biblical thing and giving the missions so that we can send out more missionaries. Why? So we can put it on our card that we've got this missionary? No. So that they can go to where God's called them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto a people that needs to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Missions is just to me, I think out in our foyer it says that mission is the heartbeat of the church. And by the way, giving to missions is a heart matter, by the way. Churches that don't give to missions, the reason they don't give to missions is because their heart's not right. It is a matter of the heart, and giving to missions and sending out missionaries and taking on more missionaries for support is an indicator that there are people in that church that are giving financially to missions so that the church can send out more missionaries. And that's a good thing tonight. So they were a giving church, they were a praying church, they were a compassionate church, some things are going to start taking place here. Acts chapter 8, if you would. You're close, but go to Acts chapter 8, and we'll look at one other point tonight, and show you tonight that they were a witnessing church. You'll find in Acts chapter number 8, again down towards the end of the chapter, we'll find in verse number 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, there's no greater message that you could ever preach than that one little word, Jesus. You see, tonight, the world, we've got everything so backwards tonight. You take the, if you were to take the teachings of the modern churches of today, it's all about building buildings and having youth programs on this night and having basketball leagues. And I'm not saying all that's bad. I'm all for reaching people. And if you can use it as a tool to reach people, that's a good thing. But more important than all that is simply preaching Jesus Christ. I don't know of a greater truth. I don't know of a greater doctrine. I don't know of a greater message. I don't know of a greater lesson in all the world that you could ever tell than what Philip gave here when he opened the scriptures and preached unto him Jesus Christ. You see, he didn't preach to him that you got to be baptized. He didn't preach to him you got to be a member of the church. He didn't preach to him that you got to give to the church. He didn't preach to him that you got to, partake of the Lord's Supper. He didn't preach all those different things that are so controversial. He preached unto him Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the answer to man's problem. You see, man has a sin problem tonight. Man has a problem. Without Christ, you die and go to hell. And he preached unto him Jesus, because Jesus is the only way unto heaven tonight. So we find here that they were a witnessing church, and the growth of the church started to take place. And we find that all these things were starting to create among the people. It all started with prayer. And then we find that they started becoming, as they prayed and as they walked with God, they became more compassionate towards other people. And we find, because of the giving of the church and the prayers of the church and being compassionate as they were, and boy, we find that, boy, they were a giving church, and boy, they started preaching the gospel. And guess what happens? God is going to honor them, and God is going to move, and God is going to bless unbelievably. In fact, let's look at it. In Acts, we'll just go there now. Let's go there. Go back to Acts chapter 2, and then I'll come back and give a couple more points. But I want to make sure I get this in real quickly and just show to you a little bit of what started taking place in the book of Acts. May I remind us tonight, it's not that they were some kind of supernatural people back in Acts. They were just common people like us that was willing to allow God to use them, and they did the right things we find here, and because of that, God could use them. And you know, when we put ourselves in a position where God can really use us, it is amazing what God can do. In Acts chapter number 2, we'll go back. Let's go backwards here a little bit. Acts chapter 2, down towards the end of the chapter once again. And let's look at verse number 41. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about how many? 3,000. Now, how would you like to have a given Sunday where we have about 3,000 people that get saved? Not only did they get saved, they got baptized. Not only they were added, the Bible says, unto them. That's what you call some pretty good church growth right there. 3,000 people, the Bible says right here, that were saved, they were baptized, and the Bible says they were added unto them. Where did it all start? It all goes back to where it started with prayer. It started with giving. It started with being compassionate. It started with witnessing and preaching Jesus Christ. And boy, they just hammered it over and over and over that Jesus was the way. And everywhere they went, they preached Jesus Christ unto the people. And we find here in one setting here, 3,000 people getting saved. You're in Acts, go over to chapter 4. You've been there once before, but let's go back, Acts chapter number 4. And we're going to be towards the beginning of the chapter, all right? Acts chapter number 4, look with me, if you would, at verse number 4. The Bible says, howbeit many of them which heard the word, they did what? They believed, the Bible says, all right? It says many of them, not all of them, but most of them, or many of them, the Bible says here. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Do you understand and see here? I mean, we're not talking about one or two here. We're talking about thousands. And we find here in the verse that we just read here, we find here in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 4, it says, howbeit many of them, I wished it was all of them, and I wish the Bible was able to say all of them, but not all of them were saved. There were some that rejected. There were some that weren't quite sure. There were some that walked away lost. There were some that maybe walked away and rejected Christ. Maybe they were saved later. We don't know, but we find here that many of them, though, the Bible says, which heard the word believed. And it's, you know, a whole different message, but we find some other key ingredients here. We find the Word of God present, and I don't have that listed, but it's something I would give if I had time. We find the Word over and over mentioned in the book of Acts, and that's why we need to take a strong stand on the Word of God. And the Word was preached here, and boy, those that believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Doesn't count any of the young people, doesn't count the teenagers, didn't count the women, but if you counted men, it was, the Bible says here, about 5,000. The Bible's not saying it was exactly 5,000, it was about 5,000, might have been a little bit over 5,000, or maybe a little bit under, but right at 5,000 men that were saved. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty good church growth there. Let's look, if you would, in Acts chapter number 6. You'll find in Acts chapter number 6, look, if you would, with me down at verse number 7 and see what we find here. And the word of God increased. And that's very, very important there. One of their greatest concerns in the early church was just preaching the gospel. And preaching the gospel. And we find here in verse number 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith here. Now, I like some words here in verse number 7. We find here the word increased. We find the number of the disciples. We find the word multiplied mentioned here. We find the word greatly mentioned here. We also find the words great company listed here. So you find here, things are going forward. Things are starting to happen. Folks are being saved and people are being reached. And we got people being baptized. We got people being added unto them. And boy, what a glorious, glorious ministry that we find here. And boy, they're praying like they've never prayed before. And they're giving like they've never given before. And they're compassionate and caring and loving. And boy, they're working and serving. And boy, they're preaching Jesus Christ. And guess what's happening? People are trusting Christ as their Savior. Now today, there are some that believe that people just aren't going to be saved nowadays. Now I will say this, I realize that we do live in a different day today. And things are very much different than they were even back in the book of Acts. I understand that tonight. And I realize that we are in the last days, and I honestly believe that. I believe we're so close to the last days, I believe the Lord could come back even tonight. And I understand that tonight. But you know, I still believe tonight that there are people that will still trust Christ if they just had the gospel message given unto them. We talk often about different parts of the world that seem to be maybe a little more open to the gospel than others. There are fields, we call them the mission fields, and there are different locations that it seems like people are more hardened to the gospel than other parts of the world, and I agree with that 100%, but I do believe tonight that it is still God's will that we preach the gospel. I honestly still believe that God wants the world to trust Christ as their Savior. And I believe that's God's will tonight. Doesn't mean that they all will. But we find here that not all of them did back then either. Many of them did in one instance that we found here. But let me go back and we'll finish out with a couple of things. I got a couple of minutes here. Let me give you a couple of more. Acts chapter number 4. You'll find that it was a very powerful church in Acts chapter number 4. For some reason, I'm over in the book of John. Acts chapter number 4, let me get there. You'll find the power that was very evident in the church. In chapter 4, down at the end of the chapter, you'll find in verse number 33, the Bible says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." So we find the apostles were... in fact, if you study, you'll find the apostles were accused of turning the world upside down. Boy, wouldn't we? That's what we need a good dose of that today. In fact, they really weren't turning the world upside down. They were really turning the world right side up and preaching to them truth and the truth of the Word. And the Word was very important unto them when they preached Jesus Christ, and the power of God was upon them, and God blessed them and God empowered them. And God works and God blesses, and boy, folks are being saved and added unto the church. But I believe tonight that there are reasons why that it exploded with growth. And I believe that we can point to some things, and I think it's very obvious that you can find some different examples of the early church and point to it and say that had to be one of the reasons why it grew. And then in Acts chapter number 8, let me give you two more things real quickly and I'll quit. Acts chapter number 8 tonight, you'll find in chapter 8 in verse number 4 that they were a preaching church. The Bible says, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And by the way, different lesson altogether, but you'll find that persecution came upon the church. You know, the more the church was persecuted, the more the church grew. And we find here, in fact, the persecution on the church was actually a blessing to the church. It actually scattered people abroad. It made people move out and branch out and move out and so forth. And that was actually a blessing because that helped actually the furthering of the gospel around the world. And we find here in verse number 4, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And boy, what a verse that is tonight of going out and preaching the word. And you know, every church ought to be built on preaching the word of God. You know, I'm glad to be a member of a Bible believing, but I'm also glad to be a member of a Bible preaching church. You know, I believe in preaching the word of God. You go home and you'll turn on the television and there's some real famous people that would come on there. In the beginning of their program, it would say the teaching ministry of so-and-so. You know, I think one of the dangers in America tonight is that America has fallen in love with teaching and we discarded the preaching. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. You can teach and not really rub a whole lot of people very wrong, but boy, you get back to rearing back and preaching the Word of God, and you're going to find out a lot of people don't like that. But that's what people need. It's preaching that is needed in our churches today, and preaching does not hurt a church. Preaching is actually helpful to the church, and preaching will bless a church, and I believe that God blesses a church that preaches the Word of God. And then lastly, and I'll close on this one, Acts chapter 16, if you'll go a few chapters with me, and I'll just give this one and I'll quit tonight. Acts chapter 16, and something else very important, but I believe something that is very obvious even in our church tonight, and we'll find that in verse number, we'll go down and look at a couple of verses. Let me give you the last little point here. The early church, if you would, in the book of Acts, one thing that the churches were doing is that they were actually starting new churches. And I believe that's very, very important tonight. That we as a church do all that we can to help men that are going out to start churches somewhere. in our church here, it's been a blessing to kind of get to know a little bit of the past of the church here and realize there's actually people that's gone through this church here, went to school here, member of the church here, but now they went out and now they started a church somewhere. You know, man, what a blessing that is. That's scriptural tonight. And we find that in Acts chapter 16, verse number 4. And as they went for throughout the cities and delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained to the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So they're out, they're going out through all the cities and so forth. In verse number 5, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number. That last little word says how often? Daily. Isn't it amazing that they were starting churches daily? I believe it's important tonight that we understand one of the other ingredients or examples that we find in the early churches, they were churches that believed in starting other churches. And it's important tonight that we also realize the importance of starting other churches. So you go to the book of Acts, you find a lot of examples of the early church. And my, how God could bless that church. And not only that church, but other churches. And other churches were started. And the gospel started being preached around the world. And boy, they were scattered abroad. And they kept going forward. And they kept going back into the simple things of the Christian faith. And that goes back to prayer, giving of our finances. Not only our finances, but time. Being a compassionate church. Being a witness, a witnessing church. A Bible preaching church. And preaching Jesus Christ. And boy, when you get those things settled in a church, God can do some great things. All right, Brother Bradley.